AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Look, I really learned a lot in this one. I learned the term emergency murder.
Yeah, how about that?
Emergency murder?
Wasn't aware.
Emergency murder?
Look, the woman who says that, she's a whole other, there's just a lot to get into here, isn't there? Yikes. Hey, Patrick Hines.
You guys, before we get to the show, look, a couple of announcements. We are doing this in two parts. This is a four-part series from Oxygen. We're doing episodes 1 and 2 right here. Episodes 3 and 4 are our episode 2. They're available right now and ad-free on the Patreon feed, girl.
Lady Pates.
Hey, speaking of the Pates, you guys, if you want 150 full bonus episodes more of Jillian and Me, go find us there.
Yeah, so all the series, like The Jinx, Making a Murderer, Don't F with Cats, I'll Be Gone in the Dark, we're doing The Vow.
The Vow is bananas. Human branding, you guys. Who knew? Human branding.
And like so many other things. There's just a lot. I'm obsessed.
When the branding is like the fourth or the fifth weirdest thing that happens in a documentary, there's really a lot to talk about.
And I just want to know how they got there. I don't get it. Okay, whatever. Different. If you want to hear me pontificate and scream and be enraged about The Vow, come join us on Lady Pates, won't you?
Also, ad-free versions of these episodes, after parties, quarantine check-ins, ringtones, interviews. We've got interviews with Asia McClain, Rabia Chaudhry, Sky Borgman.
Nancy Miller from I'll Be Gone in the Dark, our
Nancy
best friend.
Nancy Miller, the director of Tower. Remember Keith Maitland?
Remember Ripley Greer, where we recorded that? Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
In the real world?
And then the next week we went back to record again and we had a note that said no alcohol in the room, please.
Shocking, I forgot.
I know. All right, girl, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about things that need a content warning. So we're talking about Death at the Mansion on Oxygen and content warning. This story is about trying to figure out if this murder was a suicide. I maintain it was a murder, that it was not a suicide.
I agree. I absolutely agree it was a murder.
The thing about this Oxygen series is that they say a phrase that we don't really say. We know it's not cool to say. They do say committed suicide. We don't. So when we talk about it, we're going to say died by suicide. Killed herself, which I also really hate saying because it makes me just...
I just want to break in and say Jillian did a lot of research on this morning.
Yeah.
So this comes from like people in the know what were like the actual things we're supposed to say. We, however, cannot take responsibility for Billy Jensen or Paul Holes and what they have to say.
Don't drag Paul Holes into this, okay?
And my sweet baby Billy. Listen, I'm just saying, why don't we look out for ourselves?
But we play clips from the documentary and they sometimes don't say it in the best way, but that's not our fault.
Yeah. I did email Billy and Paul and ask them if they do a re-record. They said they didn't have time this week. It's a true story.
That's hilarious. Well, we're going to get it. Okay, there's just a lot to say, so... Oh, boy.
Detectives in Southern California are stumped by the discovery of a woman's body at her boyfriend's mansion. 32-year-old Rebecca Zahao was found dead, hanging in the home of her 54-year-old boyfriend, pharmaceutical tycoon Jonah Shacknai.
She was found naked, hands tied behind her back, her ankles tied together, the t-shirt stuffed in her mouth. Where have you ever heard of a case like this?
People said, how would she do that to herself? Why would she do that to herself?
Her death came just days after her boyfriend's 6-year-old son fell down the stairs and suffered fatal injuries while she was caring for him.
And once they put out the address, we all stopped. We figured, okay, we know what this is. Rebecca had hung herself.
Did she commit suicide because she felt responsible for Max's death? Or was this a murder?
We have to look past the unusual appearance of the death and focus on the facts and the evidence.
Rebecca Zahao's manner of death was suicide.
What? No way. Somebody killed my sister.
All right, episode one, the case of Rebecca Zahow. Am I saying that right?
You are. Okay. Again, we're going to be saying this a lot. According to the Oxygen documentary, yes, you are saying it correctly.
You guys, we're starting out at a little place called Coronado Island.
Coronado Island is a little island paradise. It's just a mile or two from San Diego. It has that quintessential small town safe feel to it.
Coronado is the lowest crime area in all of San Diego County. The most common crime they have is bicycle theft.
I know that's played for a joke, but what kind of rat bastard steals somebody else's bicycle? Why do people do that? It's so shitty. Who steals a bicycle?
I know. Or like Christmas presents. It's on par right. with that. It's like, oh God. Or like presents during the holiday season. Like right. my friend Carrie got like a whole Amazon delivery like stolen from her doorstep in the East Village. God, everyone is the worst. So we're with Lonnie Coombs, and Lonnie Coombs is a criminal prosecutor in LA for 18 years. She has a motto. She comes with a motto.
Ever vigilant, never forget. I am their one shot to get their story told. I would always have a picture of the victim on the wall. And today, the picture I'm focusing on is Rebecca Zahow.
She's amazing. She tells us that like she's very like victim focused, and whenever she was prosecuting a case, she would hang a picture of the victim on the wall. And she says like she's the one shot for them to get their stories told. Connie kind of wears on me down the road, but I really like her at the beginning. I gotta tell you, I've watched this entire series twice.
I know.
In 2 days, so it's like watching 8 episodes of Connie and Billy and Paul. Oh my.
The thing, Oxygen Girl. Can we talk for a second?
Yeah, totally.
There was no reason for this to be 4 episodes. There was just no reason. And you know, we are very much like Lonnie. We are here for the victims and getting the justice done and getting the word out there about these cases. However,
yeah,
4 episodes seems, I like Paul Holes in the Blazer too, but I just feel like 4 episodes is a lot.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So Lonnie tells us she has agonized over this case, the death of Rebecca Zahow.
I personally have been agonizing over this case ever since I heard about it, ever since I heard that they declared it a suicide. I wanted to know what's really going on here. As a woman of color, I think there are so many assumptions that are made right off the bat by people in society.
We're with her in the car and she's like, you know what I really hated about this whole thing? Right from the beginning, when Rebecca was discussed, it was always like the beautiful Burmese girlfriend of the multimillionaire businessman whose name is Jonah Shacknai. Wait till you get a load of this guy. God.
I just want you to be alone in a room with this guy for 5 minutes.
Oh, I'd kick his teeth out. Oh, totally. What a piece of shit this guy is. So Rebecca is the victim here. And so she was, we hear this all the time, forgotten in the telling of the story. We'd hear about how beautiful she was, but then, oh, who was she married to? This like successful multimillionaire.
I gotta tell you, I wrote it down as Connie and I know it's Lonnie. So it's gonna be a conversion in my head every time.
Well, say it right at the top. It's Lonnie. I know it. Patrick knows it. You know it. If you hear Connie... We're talking about Lonnie. I can't interrupt you every time, girl. I can't do it. Let's just have a little bit of a disclaimer.
All I wanted to say was that Lonnie tells us
she went to college. She came over to this country. She was very focused on her career. She was a fitness buff. She was a career woman. She spoke 6 languages. You never heard any of that. It was just the beautiful. And if she wasn't beautiful, they probably would have barely talked about her at all.
Women have had it, America.
Yeah.
Women have fucking had it, world.
Oh, yeah, for like quite some time. So thanks for listening, finally. Like the world, not you. I know you've been listening from the beginning. But, you know, Lonnie's like, look, Rebecca was actually like a super interesting person. She was born in Burma. Her father was a political prisoner. When he got out of prison, the family escaped to Germany. They lived there for 10 years. She went to school in Austria. She spoke 6 languages. And Lonnie's like, did you hear about any of that?
I know.
No, we didn't. We heard about none of this. So Lonnie is like, or someone from Oxygen was like, hey, Lonnie, please meet Billy Jensen and team up and look at this case.
My name is Billy Jensen. I'm an investigative journalist and victims advocate. I've been writing about unsolved murders and missing persons for 20 years, and I also help police departments solve crimes using social media.
You know, Billy, this is not I'll Be Gone in the Dark,
no,
Billy. This is Oxygen Billy, and boy, does it show.
But the whole thing is that, like, Billy is coming to meet Lonnie, and, like, he's walking to wherever it is that their, like, hideout is.
The cool, like, we're going to solve this thing warehouse. That's the name of it.
Totally. Yes, exactly.
It's in every series. So we're with Billy and Lonnie, and they're just like, okay, whatever they find, their plan is.
What are the facts that the police are looking at to say it's a suicide? We might be able to find things that they haven't seen. We might be able to point out things that perhaps were overlooked. And whatever we come up with, we're going to take to the sheriff's.
Whatever they find over these four episodes, they're going to take it to the sheriff's department.
Yes.
And so we learn about this case. Rebecca died in 2011, and there are a lot of questions and really odd occurrences in this case. And this is really hard to hear, everybody. So just letting you know now.
Yeah.
They describe it a lot. They show it a lot. I never need to see those images ever again.
Oh, my God. And they show various images of it. So basically, Lonnie and Billy are investigating after the fact. And what has been determined is that Rebecca died by suicide by hanging herself over the balcony of this like mansion that she and her billionaire boyfriend lived in.
This woman was hanging naked from a balcony outside with her hands tied behind her back, her feet bound together, and a gag in her mouth. And they were saying that this was a suicide.
There are lots of images that are blurred out, but they show autopsy photos, like where you can see her hands.
Real like close-up images of the injuries and bruises from the, it's really bad.
It's really bad.
But immediately, Lonnie says, this is not a suicide. So I'm team Lonnie, it's not a suicide. And Billy's like,
we very well might come to the idea that this was a suicide.
That's the dynamic that we get right now that stays with us. Lonnie saying it's not a suicide and Billy saying, but maybe it was.
Yeah.
So now on top of Rebecca's case, we have Max's case.
Yeah.
Max was the son of Jonah, Rebecca's boyfriend. And Rebecca was watching him. We'll get into their dynamic and relationship a little bit later.
And Max is 6 years old. So he's literally Daisy's age. He's a child.
And so Rebecca was watching him. They were super, super close. And we just learn right now.
Her boyfriend, Jonah Shacknight's 6-year-old son, Max, had a fall in their home and ended up comatose in the hospital.
We learned that Max had an accident on the stairs. He went into a coma and he died. And that's all we know in this moment.
Yeah. And Rebecca's either murder or suicide was 2 days later.
Right. So two deaths in the same mansion within 2 days. So the sheriff's department says Rebecca felt so much grief and so much guilt about Max that she killed herself. Rebecca's family says absolutely not. And also, real quick, before we get into the case and the investigation, Jonah, the boyfriend, his brother Adam has been found responsible for Rebecca's death in a civil suit. So Billy and Lonnie, let's do this. Let's go. Come on.
And so Lonnie says, let's start with the body. She's a prosecutor. She's like,
I always try and start with the victim's body in a case like this because there's a lot of evidence on the victim's body. It's literally her way of speaking and telling us what happened in those last moments of her life. So I say we start there.
And we see the bindings. And like, remember, her hands were bound behind her back and her feet were bound together. And the sheriff saying that she took her own life is saying that she did this to herself. Like, she bound her own hands and legs. And everyone's just like, girl, is that even possible to do?
Because Lonnie's like, so just let me get this straight.
And if I was going to kill myself in this manner and I had this balcony to get over, why would you bind your feet if your hands are already bound? You're trying to get over that balcony.
You're opining that she hopped over to the balcony. Like, it just makes no sense. It makes no sense. And also, like, just for the record, it's so horrible that we have to talk about this woman this way.
The idea that
we're, like, just, like, talking shit and sarcastically responding to these sheriffs who didn't care enough to do their job.
Yeah.
And me saying, like, now I have to have this vision of this woman hopping.
I know. Naked, by the way.
And you did that, sheriffs, not me. I didn't do it. You did.
So they're saying the crime scene is very strange. And so we have some crime scene photos.
Right.
So we see images of the crime scene and we see that like there was a towel on the floor and the idea is that maybe she had just gotten out of the shower. There's blood drops around where the towel is, but there's no like visible gashes on her body. She was having her period at the time. So like some of the blood is menstrual blood.
Sure. Yeah. And so then on top of that, there's like this phrase scrawled on the wall in black paint.
And you've got what we saw on the door. Was this a suicide note? Was it something that somebody else wrote? She saved him. Can you save her? What do you make of that?
This is the fucking scary scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. Sometimes we talk about things that are like not normal as though like they're so normal.
It's a weird job.
I know.
I'm just saying. I'm gonna bring that shit back. It's terrifying. So it's like in black paint, but in block letters, like all in caps. And it looks kind of like, the way it's written is odd, but the words are, she saved him. Can you save her?
Right.
And then also there was a small knife on the scene with Rebecca's blood on the handle. And this is another content warning, everybody. But Lonnie says,
They said that there was Rebecca's blood on the handle, not just on a side, all the way around. It wasn't just wiped it, it was penetrating something. That knife penetrated that source of blood. Because we know she was on her period, that's indicative of a potential sexual assault.
And the point is that Lonnie is saying if she was being penetrated by this knife, she was not then taking her own life. Like, if somebody's in this room penetrating her with this knife, they're also murdering her.
Yes, that is sexual assault. And Lonnie so far is saying everything right as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
I hate the words she's saying. I hate the visuals, yeah. But I hear her.
1,000,000%.
Okay, so now Lonnie and Billy go through the theories. And this is immediately, Billy girl, we have to have a conversation. I don't like your tone.
Billy, we love you. We love you. But your tone could use some work in this scene.
Was it a crime? What do we think happened? What are the theories that could have happened? Let's lay them all out.
Okay. Let's start with the one that the police say it is. Suicide. I have a gut reaction that it's not a suicide.
You and everybody on the internet has a gut reaction that this is not a suicide.
Yeah.
Billy says in the driest. William Elizabeth Jensen says, and like this throwaway line, yeah, you and everyone on the internet have a gut theory that this isn't a suicide. And I'm like, William.
I know.
Billy.
William Elizabeth.
You were invited into this, let's solve this cool warehouse by Lonnie, I assume.
The thing is, if you've ever met Billy, he's very intense and intent. Like, he's here to fucking solve this thing.
Sure.
Not to make fucking friends with Lonnie. No, I'm joking. He's very nice, but I think that like he really wants to solve it, you know?
Right. And Lonnie's like, bitch, I've had Rebecca's framed picture on my office wall for 6 months. You think I'm not here for the same reason? Calm down.
William Elizabeth Jensen.
William Elizabeth Jensen. Well, I'll share a middle name with Billy. Sure.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts. So I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
So the second theory is that she was murdered and the scene was staged.
So now we're looking at the people in Rebecca's life. So Jonah, the boyfriend,
yeah.
They've been dating for a few years. Also, this is where we get, I really don't like this.
Are you going to say the name of the mansion?
Yes, it makes me crazy.
I know, me too.
Everyone says it with a straight face. It's just a silly sounding word.
And so they were staying at the Spreckles Mansion there on Coronado together.
And they were living together at the Spreckles Mansion. The what? It's like freckles, but spreckles. It's like sprinkles, but spreckles.
The Spreckles Mansion. I can't get over it.
Okay, so Jonah, the boyfriend, and then Max, who's Jonah's son, 6 years old, very close to Rebecca. And then Dina. Dina,
you guys. Dina
is Max's mother.
Yes.
She is Jonah's second wife, and Dina had shared custody of Max. And Dina and Rebecca had, to put it lightly, a tumultuous relationship.
More than, I'm sure that is true. But even bigger breaking news, Dina has a twin sister named Nina.
Now, when Max had his accident, Dina's twin sister, Nina, immediately flew in to San Diego for support.
Let me say something.
Dina and Nina, the twin sisters.
And look, they didn't do this. Their shitty parents did.
Right.
Don't do this to your kids. Don't do that to your kids. Because when we're talking about a serious thing, like a murder, like Rebecca's murder, and then we're like, and then twins, Dina and Nina, come in. It totally Like, you know, it's so, it feels disrespectful to the whole case. But also, imagine them in like second grade being Nina and Dina. That's fucking mean. Think about your kids when you name them. It's not about you, okay?
I totally agree. Nina is in town because, remember, Max had his accident like 2 days before Rebecca died.
Right.
So Nina is there to support Dina, Max's mom, as is Adam Shacknai, who's Jonah's brother, who's Max's dad. You guys, it's so many stupid fucking names.
Well, he's not only Jonah's brother. He is, and we will hear this no less than 15,000 times. Take a drink whenever you hear it. Adam is a tugboat operator in Memphis, Tennessee. Again, hold on.
I was going to say, it sounds like a detail they only included for us, but this comes back, you guys.
It comes back. And the thing is, I feel like this is another thing I say all the time on the podcast, where it could be like a fill in the blank, like a Mad Lib, where it's like, I don't care if you're a blank.
Right.
Like,
yes, that's
a cool job. Do what you have to do. But I don't like blank, so now we're going to make fun of it. So a tugboat operator, listeners, if you are a tugboat operator, if you come from a family of tugboat operators, if your dad is what you're, if you are, I don't care if you love, if you're married to one, if you love someone, your partner, that's your favorite thing, it's your passion, great. Yeah. I don't like Adam,
yeah,
so now we're going to like do bits about the tugboat operator. I'm sure it's a great job, but I'm just saying, you are all exempt if you're not Adam. If you're not Adam, you're exempt. And one more very important thing about Adam, he was the last person to see Rebecca alive, and he found her body.
Guys, none of this stuff is that important. So if you're like Steve and you're like making a chart of names with arrows and connecting the dots like the playbill of Rent eventually had to do.
Oh my God, remember?
Yeah, so people could keep straight how Mark knew Maureen.
Then
don't worry about it. So Zena is Rebecca's 13-year-old sister. She's visiting. And then there's Mary, who's Rebecca's older sister. And they were also very close. So these are the people that were in Rebecca's life when she died.
And Mary is with us today. Mary is talking to us today.
Yes. And then we learn that they are actually going to Mary's house right now, like this afternoon. Lonnie tells us,
I've actually been able to contact Mary.
Right.
So she is going to meet with us this afternoon, she said.
Mary has agreed to meet with us this afternoon, and then Lonnie checks a watch that she's literally not wearing.
She's just like, oh, now? Like, so we're with Mary, and Mary is immediately like, you know who I didn't like? Jonah.
It was a little awkward, you know, when I first met him, and he definitely perceived that. I wasn't rude or anything, but I wasn't thrilled about it, you know, and it was one of those things where you want to support your sister. She's an adult.
I made a note that Mary is very intense, but I think that, like everybody here, she's got a point of view, and she's the one who's been like, my sister did not die by suicide. She was fucking murdered. Mm-hmm. Mary was saying that, like,
I would say she was vibrant, compassionate, and definitely a go-getter.
We get this little tidbit about Rebecca, because Rebecca just like is so perfect looking and beautiful.
Yeah.
But Mary tells us that she had this really funny sounding laugh, which I love knowing about Rebecca. This like beautiful woman who like probably had a snort laugh or something.
Yeah, and like, you know, Mary was like, when she laughed, I would laugh, and then I would make her laugh to hear the laugh.
Totally.
Break your heart into a million pieces.
I don't know how to say it. She just had this funny laugh and just made me laugh because she laughed funny. Simple things like that you don't think about until you miss it.
And then we also meet, we're going to stop meeting people because eventually then we're just with these people. I'm sure I'm sure it feels like a lot.
They're still making that diagram. He's writing for his life.
Wait, so then Joanne and Maureen and then and Benny and Mimi, like what?
Wait, Angel. Angel was a drag queen. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No. They belong my coat. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So someone we do have to get into meeting is Sean Elder. Sean Elder journalist, author, curmudgeon. And I'm here for it.
Totally.
In this moment. So he's the one who tells us,
I don't believe that everybody in Jonah's life was totally kind and welcoming at first. I heard several people say she did not seem like the kind of woman that Jonah would be with. And I don't know what to read into that. Perhaps that she wasn't white. Perhaps that she was 20 years younger than him.
Maybe. It's because she wasn't white, probably.
Yeah.
Most likely, absolutely, definitely. Or maybe, probably, definitely, absolutely, it was because Jonah was 20 years older than her. Like, Sean is here with a lot of tea, a lot of speculation, and also a lot of truth in some ways.
Yeah, he's been working on this case for 2 years. Right. He knows every nook and cranny of this case and everybody involved.
So Mary is telling us more about, like, the dynamic between Rebecca and Max and Rebecca and Jonah. And so Mary's like, look, I'm going to be honest with you.
To me, it felt like he saw a nice person, and my sister was, and took advantage of her. I mean, she was almost like a glorified nanny. I think he knows that she would take care of his kids And she was more of a convenience, in all honesty.
A glorified nanny. Because Jonah had three kids, not just Max, three kids. And so when Lonnie asks, like, so how did Rebecca get along with all the kids? Mary is all of us, takes a deep breath, kind of shifts in her seat, and she's like,
Jonah had three kids.
Yes.
How did she get along with them?
Oh boy, that's a long story. I don't know all the details, but I do know that the teenagers were a challenge. But she got along with Maxie really well.
I think that Mary, every time she speaks, it's an assumed, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I don't think Mary has ever said anything not bluntly ever in her life.
She said it once to Oxygen, and she's like, please don't make me repeat myself 800 times. Just everything I say has, I'm going to be honest with you in front of it for the rest of this.
Like, everything out of my mouth is probably going to hurt your feelings slightly, but you're going to go home and realize I was right.
For the rest of this 10-day filming.
Totally.
So, you know, she says that according to Mary, the teenagers were hard to deal with, which, okay, teenagers are hard to deal with, but totally tracks. But Rebecca was really, really close with Max.
She actually took the time to play with him. She would actually get down to his level and play games with him or read the books to him. She was very attached to him.
Rebecca would like get down to Max's level, meaning like they would like play on the floor and Rebecca was cool and like just let Max be a kid and she was fun and she had that cool laugh and like just they were kind of tight. And I feel like it was the two of them against the world.
Totally. 1,000,000%. So remember Sean Elder, the journalist? Billy and Lonnie want to talk to him because he's been investigating this case for 2 years. So he knows everything. So Billy and Lonnie sit down with Sean and they're like, girl, what was it about the suicide theory that made you say no, bitch?
And he was like, thank you so much for asking. You could tell that this interview was like 5 hours edited down to these 3 minutes.
Totally, totally.
Because Sean has a lot to say.
So what Sean is saying, like everybody, we're going to hear this over and over and over again. First of all, the knots.
Just starting with the basic facts of Rebecca's death, that she, her hands and feet were bound behind her. The San Diego sheriffs, they went to great lengths to convince people this could actually be done. If somebody could kill themselves that way. Somebody could tie these rather complicated, rather nautical knots.
The knots were very nautical. Mm-hmm. Put a pin in that. I don't know if you guys know, but we've got a tugboat master among us. We'll get back to her. And then, he says that, like, the idea of suicide came from the very beginning. Because if you remember, Jonah's brother, Adam, was the one who found Rebecca's body. So after calling 911, Adam calls Jonah and is like, literally says,
I got some bad news for you. You sitting down? Rebecca's killed herself.
So immediately that's like, even when he calls the cops, oh my God, there's a suicide. Like, that's the story from the very beginning. And it all comes from Adam and Jonah. But guess what, everybody? Pull over, because here comes the racism. Yay.
This part is so unbelievably problematic. We need to like blow through this.
Because we hear a lot of audio because Jonah's interviewed. And so we hear a lot of audio from the police interviews or whatever. And so Jonah, who's at the hospital with Max and Nina, who's Max's mom, he goes to the hospital room and tells Nina, oh my God, Rebecca took her own life.
She said, oh my God, why? And he said, Asian honor.
And he does this like gesture where he motions like he's stabbing himself in the stomach. This is so racist and so false.
And just to be clear, this is the boyfriend of the dead woman.
Right. And we don't judge people's reactions. I don't know. But I feel like if your person died, the first thing isn't immediately, oh, I know why. The Asian honor thing. Don't be a fucking racist.
I know.
So now they decide, you know what? You know what we need? A really seasoned investigator who looks great in a blazer. You guys, Paul Holes is here, okay? Paul Holes is here.
I just have, oh my God, hot daddy Paul Holes is here.
There's no blazer here, which is fine. Like, I'll get over it, I guess.
I feel like the Oxygen costume budget might not be exactly the HBO costume budget.
Are you trying to tell me that Paul Holes doesn't have like a closet full of those blazers? Because in my mind, that's, he just like, which shade of tweed shall I wear today? So Paul comes in and truly from the minute he walks on screen, the only adult in the room. And Lonnie, I love you, but Paul Holes is so confused about like how long this is going to be, because I feel like Paul's whole inner monologue is like, and in conclusion, and some PA is like, no. And he's like, oh, no, there are four episodes of this. Okay. All right. So I'll just show what I have and I'll explain. Okay. Yeah. I won't. So you tell me when I can do the in conclusion thing and then I'll do the in conclusion thing.
But he's definitely the one, he says to us, he's like,
I am going to bring valuable insight as to whether or not Rebecca killed herself or somebody came in and murdered her.
I'm basically here to decide what happened. Like, these two clowns got us the TV gig, but I'm here to like really get to the bottom of this shit.
These two clowns. Lonnie, I love you, Lonnie.
And I love Billy.
I know. It's just...
But you guys, it's our job. Don't get mad. It's our job.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Can we get to the sex club? Because another reason you're all going to be in love with Paul Holes, because he's like...
Now, when you have people who are involved, let's say in bondage, that's what they do. And so they do become very practiced. Did Rebecca possess this skill set?
Look, you know, people in the bondage scene could definitely pull that off, like tying themselves up. And he says it like it's nothing, which it is. And he's like, I just wonder, like, did Rebecca possess that skill set? And I'm like, hero bell for Paul Holes for not kink shaming. Hell yeah, Paul Holes. Because he's like, again, he's trying to solve it. Like, does Rebecca possess that skill set of being able to tie the bondage ropes? And I'm like, you know what, Paul? I knew I liked you.
But then weirdly, Paul does not come with us to the bondage club.
Because he's solving it, Patrick.
I know. Right? So here's the thing. Right before we go to the bondage club, we see a video from the sheriff's department. Remember, the sheriff's department concluded she could have done this to herself. She could have tied herself up. And here's how. We see a female detective from the neck down who actually is like tying herself up in bindings that kind of like resemble the bindings that Rebecca had on her body.
Right.
So now we're at a bondage club. It's called the Shibari Room.
This is the Shibari Room.
Shibari is the Japanese form of bondage where someone is tied up in intricate knots and suspended.
We're meeting with the experts. We're going to get schooled on Shibari and kink and one's ability to tie themselves up.
Right. And so basically it's really, we're just here and right. These women are very knowledgeable and they know what's up and their names are Cassie and Faye.
It's also like bright and early on like a Tuesday morning, which is not the hours these women are used to working, and I say thank you for doing your civic duty and coming out and assisting us with this.
Yeah, I also do love that, like, there is definitely a world where someone stops in at the Shibari Room before work. And you know what? Great. If
totally.
Everyone's like, if the price is right, you know, if you're yes. just pay these women and everyone's consenting, I mean, stopping in before work, that can really, you know, if you're having like, oh God, it's Wednesday, I have that stupid meeting, let me just stop by Shibari real quick. I love that. I love that idea so much. So these women, Cassie and Faye, they look at the pictures of the bindings and they're like,
that's not even remotely close to Shibari. That looks like maybe some sloppy Western look, or like somebody had some boating skills once upon a time.
You call that Shibari? Like, right. not even close. And this is like so oxygen
totally.
Because I'm sure what the sentence really was like, that kind of looks like someone who maybe like worked on a boat once or twice. Like that
yeah.
doesn't look like anything. But suddenly these women are just like, you know, that looks like, did someone ever work on a boat mayhaps? Is there someone related to her?
Don't forget, you guys, we've got a tugboat captain in our midst in case we haven't beaten you over the fucking head with it enough.
Exactly. So they have Cassie and or Faye like say these lines. And
yeah.
I'm just like, they work hard enough. Like, please. Also, I feel like a lot of people watched this next scene because Cassie's like, the thing is, though, you actually could tie your wrists yourself. Like, that
yes.
that is something you could do. And so Billy Jensen does it. And I'm just curious how many of you have that saved somewhere.
Billy Jensen. Because remember, Billy's playing the role of the guy who does believe it's suicide. So Billy, like, ties himself up. And then, like, with his arms tied behind his back, he's like,
I mean, it would probably take 15 seconds. Yeah, eventually I could do that. But... if this was the last thing she did, if she had her feet bound, the noose around her neck, and then she finally did this and then hopped over, it could have happened. It wasn't that much of a challenge, to be honest with you. It really wasn't.
And, you know, it kind of sways Lonnie. Lonnie's kind of like, well, maybe this is a suicide. You know, like, if the big question here is about the bindings, like, how could you bind yourself and then be able to, like, get over the balcony to take your own life? Lonnie's like...
But to me, this means that this suicide theory that we're looking into is still a reality. I mean, very much a reality. She could bind her feet and her hands. There wasn't anything fancy about those knots that were found on her feet, her hands, or even the noose. So this didn't take any expert information or knowledge. She could have done it.
Right, but Billy tied his wrists, not his wrists and his feet, and then
right.
hopped over to a balcony. So, like, we're just keeping this on the table
right.
for the sake of people being able to think about Billy Jensen tying himself up. That's
totally.
Really what this is all about.
Yeah, I didn't hate that part. I didn't hate that part, Billy.
Well, so now we're in the car, and
yes.
Billy... William Elizabeth Jensen, again, I need to have a word. I need to have a conversation.
Now, remember, Billy is just an intense guy. And, like, he just sort of says what's on his mind. But, yes, please take us through it.
So we're in the car with Lonnie and Billy. And they're like, okay, what did we learn? And what does this mean for the case? And they're really trying to figure it out. And Billy, like, in this moment, playing the role of the guy who, like, really wants to talk about that Rebecca was naked and why she was naked and how often is she naked and why is she so naked. And, like, he goes,
why is she naked?
Yeah.
I want to know, did she do other things naked? Did she like to be nude a lot?
I want to know, and then, like, the longest beat ever, did she do other things naked? Like, was she nude a lot? And I'm like, William Elizabeth. And this is like, Billy, don't worry about it. That's not what we're here for. You just, I know you just left the bondage club, but, like, I don't know, girl. Like, don't. And Lonnie's face is incredible because she is me. She's like, the cameras are on me. I'm a professional. I'm, like, hosting this. Like, in spite of herself, she almost wants to say, bitch, are you, what? Oh, what?
Now, in defense of my William Elizabeth, I don't think that he's thinking about her sexually. Billy is put in a hard position here because this woman was found naked and bound, and he's expected to talk about it. And he's like they just went to a bondage club to learn if that she could have done it herself. Like, I think that he feels like he's been given license to speak freely. Do you know what I mean?
Right. But he should have known that we were going to talk about it. So
I'm sure he did.
So really, episode one ends with this, like, conversation in the car. That's how it ends. And I'm like, God, couldn't end soon enough. Let's move on, shall we?
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Okay, so we are at Death at the Mansion, episode 2. It's called Two Deaths, One Mansion. Is that a play on, like, the two girls, one cup thing?
That's what I thought, too. I don't like it at all. Who was the producer of this? I'm, like, really upset by all of this. This is like, can we have respect for this case? It feels Two Deaths, One Mansion. Get out of here.
I know. So it starts with July 11th, 2011. This is when 6-year-old Max falls from the second floor banister and is, like, rendered unconscious. Rebecca's sister Zena was the only person there. When you hear the 911 call, it's her that you hear on the phone.
And she's 13, remember?
And she's She's 13. And just as a reminder, law enforcement cites this incident as the reason for Rebecca dying by suicide 2 days later.
Right. So now Lonnie and Billy want to map out Rebecca's entire day leading up to this supposed suicide.
Because they want to know if she was really feeling the guilt. Like, they're saying that she died by suicide because of the guilt.
Right.
And Lonnie and Billy are looking into if that's actually true.
Right. So they have this report from the counselor who spoke to Rebecca. They actually have, like, good information about to try to piece this together.
And this is a big deal. You know, like, not to get political all of the time, but when they talk about defunding the police, what they're really talking about is, like, adding psychiatrists and therapists to go along with the police on their rounds. And this is what happens in Rebecca's case. After Max was taken to the hospital, a police therapist stayed with Rebecca for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And so they really get a window into her mental state right after the fact.
Yeah, and it's all very clinical, but here's what we learn.
She says that Rebecca's upset, she's tearful, she's anxious, her body and hands are trembling. She gave no indication of depression, nor did she state anything regarding feeling guilty or of regret.
We learn that, like, Rebecca was, of course, a wreck.
Yes.
But there was no indication of depression or...
or even guilt. They say that, like, she didn't feel guilty. She didn't feel like she was responsible. She just loved this kid and just felt terrible that this had happened while she was, like, under his care.
Right. And her focus was taking care of Jonah through this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, we get texts from Rebecca to her sister Mary.
She was keeping Mary up to date on everything.
And, yeah, they're very close.
Mary was asking, have you seen him? Is he on a ventilation machine? And Rebecca says, I can't believe this. It's a nightmare. And partially it's hard for me because I love him like my own, but he is not, and I need to be strong for Jonah.
Max isn't like really biologically my son, but I feel like he is. And so I have to be here for Jonah. And she's sending texts to Jonah like, it's all going to be okay. I have Max's stuffed animal. I'm going to bring it to the hospital. Like, she was kind of in this mode of she's going to feel sad and it is tragic, but she put her feelings aside to take care of Jonah.
Exactly. So you guys, we're with Billy Jensen at a bar, which is one of my favorite places to be with him.
Can I get a bourbon?
Bourbon?
Ordering bourbon neat at 2 p.m. This is the Billy I want to see, okay? Yeah. This is what I want.
Billy, we love you, girl. And so we learn that, like, Billy, of course, is famous for crowd-solving murders. There was the Marcus Gaines case in Chicago. That was, like, his first big solve. And so he's going to apply that to this case.
So what I do is start a Facebook page and do targeted advertising in a neighborhood, on a street.
Were you on Coronado Island in July of 2011.
And his whole MO is like, people are on Facebook when they see these ads. Like, they're looking at like pictures of like kittens, right, and like their nieces.
And it's their inhibitions are down and their humanity is up.
I love that he made that point.
I know. I love that too. He was like, they're not at the post office, like bored and annoyed, you know, right, like looking at a missing person's ad. They're kind of like, it's just us here. They're scrolling on their couch. They're doing
exactly
whatever.
Yeah. Barkeep, give me another bourbon.
I know. I also love like seeing the background of that. Like the fact that we're talking about like targeted ads. It's so techie and nerdy, but like that's how shit gets done.
I know.
You guys, we're back to, this is going to be uncomfortable. It's kind of racist and it's very racist and horrible.
This is the part that I really, really feel very strange about.
So Jonah has been screaming about, he doesn't, like, I don't know if he shed a tear, which again, if you cry, whatever, however you deal with stuff. But his whole thing is like, this was an honor killing, an Asian honor killing or whatever racist shit he said.
Like an honor suicide. Right. Jonah, how are you a fucking expert on Asian culture, you fucking asshole?
Well, guess what? Jonah might not be, but Sam Louis is an Asian honor suicide expert.
So that's what we hear. We hear Lonnie and Billy saying that he's like a he's an Asian honor suicide expert. Wow. Because when we actually meet this guy, Sam Louis, his lower third says therapist and diversity and culture expert, which is probably how he would, like, I'm assuming that's on his business card and not Asian honor suicide expert.
Or like shame expert. Like, what is happening?
I
would hope so, but maybe not, because Sam, in his own words, again, according to the documentary and according to Sam, in his own words, he's like,
Asian cultures are shame-based cultures. So suicide is one way to regain your family's sense of honor.
I don't know. Can we move on?
Yeah, totally. Whenever you hear anything from Sam, it's like, oh, we hate it. Let's move on. He's generalizing. We're not racist. I don't know what this is. Oh, I hate it. So back to Billy's Facebook campaign. William Elizabeth gets a response and someone's like, hey girl.
I can't decide if Billy never wants to speak to me again or if he's loving the episode. Billy, text me.
Billy, yeah, let us know. We're going to wake up to text. I keep thinking it's tomorrow. This episode isn't coming out for weeks.
I know.
I want the group text happening immediately.
I know.
Billy.
Yes, yes.
So Billy's Facebook campaign gets a response and some woman is like,
I heard a story that there was a woman that heard another woman yell, help, help, the night that Rebecca was found dead. It was a woman that was just two doors down from the Spreckles mansion. She said she heard it. The time matches up. We just got to dig in deeper into the story and see what's going on.
So now we're with Marcia Allison and we're with her. Talk about a piece of work.
Listen, we see Marcia Allison's deposition from like years ago. And all I said was Marcia Allison left all her fucks at home.
All of them. If she ever had any, they were like, she's looking in the drawers. Oh, I don't seem to have any fucks to give, Harold. I'm all out.
Marcia is just not here for your shit. Also, Marcia must be just unbelievably rich because she lives two houses down from the Periwinkle Mansion or whatever the fuck it's called.
Spreckles, how dare you. Also, like, I'd rather it be Periwinkle, honestly. So, and this is like years, her deposition is years after Rebecca's death, but she's on camera and she's like,
the night in question we're here to talk about, you hear something outside that seemed to you to be unusual?
The woman screamed. She was screaming real loud, help me, help me.
I heard someone screaming, help me, help me, help me. It was very loud. It was 11:30. Right. And then they're like, you just hear like some voice in the background. And it's like,
did you dial 911?
No, because she quit yelling. So I thought it must have been all right.
Well, she quit yelling. So I figured she was all right.
Marsha!
And I'm like, who hears help me, help me, help me? And then ending abruptly and assumes that everything's fine.
I know.
If you hear help me, help me, help me, and then silence, there's a fucking problem.
Marsha, that's when you know to call the police.
That's when you know, oh, I'll hit the second one in the 911. I'll make sure this call goes through. Marsha. She quit yelling, so I thought it must have been all right. And Marsha, in what universe is there someone attacking someone else and they're going, help me, help me, help me? Oh, okay, no problem. And like in Marsha's world, everything was just suddenly okay. Marsha?
I know.
Marsha.
And then they asked.
You were interviewed by law enforcement people, correct?
Yeah, I didn't like them. And there was a lady with them, and she said, there's no way she could hear her through that window. You hear everything through that window.
They brought a woman with them, she says.
Well, yeah, Marsha probably isn't thrilled that there's a woman doing a man's job. But Paul Holes believes every single syllable that came out of Marsha Allison's mouth. Which means guess who else believes her? Me.
So, you guys, Lonnie and Billy decide, look, in order for us to really understand what happened in there, we got to recreate the scene. Girl, I don't know where they are. This escalates in a minute.
Yeah.
But they start out, like, fake recreating the scene in some like, circular room. It looks like in a library where there's, like, elevators and windows.
And then it's like Paul Holes comes in and he's like, girls, we got to do this for real and from the top, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Right. So Oxygen steps in and they're like, that's cute, you guys. Remember that JonBenet documentary a few years ago where they rebuilt the fucking house? We're doing that.
And they're like, okay, awesome.
So they do. They go to like a soundstage. They rebuild the bedroom. So like there's a bathroom and a bedroom and then the balcony where Rebecca falls from is either murdered or dies by suicide. And Oxygen like pays engineers to build the whole thing like to scale.
We had to do this right. We had to recreate this scene from the ground up, full scale.
Wow.
Everything that you can see in the crime scene photographs, we've recreated and placed in this room. Paintbrushes, rope, the knives, even the exact same bed frame that was in that room.
And then Dr. Laura Petler comes in. She is a crime scene analyst.
Billy tells us, William Elizabeth tells us that she literally wrote the book on crime scene staging, which I think is really fucking cool. And like, she starts out great because she's saying like,
one of the things that is important to recognize about the body of our work is that we are victim centered. So we always take everything and compare it back to the victim, using the victim as kind of the baseline and the litmus test for relating to the crime scene.
When we are recreating a crime scene to figure out if it was staged or if it was like a real murder scene, we're like, what is here? What belongs to her? What doesn't belong here? Like, she tries to get into the mind of the victim.
Right, but we're going through things where I'm like, and I do, I think it's super cool. It's no shade to any of that. But like, there's like this wicker chair that's tipped over. And Dr. Laura's like,
and then this chair is overturned. Did she, you know, lose her balance and fall into the chair? Or, you know, what's the purpose of the chair? But this is not the way a chair is used.
And what's this? What happened here? Did she fall? Was it knocked over? And then Laura goes, either way, this is not the way a chair is used. Thank you, Laura. Thank you. And then she's like, and what about this plastic bag? Why is that here? What's with the paintbrush? And I'm like, Laura, girl, we don't know. That's why we invited you to the Let's Solve the Thing party. That's why you're here.
And then she says, the whole thing about murder is that murder is conflict resolution for the offender. And she said,
it's this went wrong, and now we got a stage, and they roughly staged something like this. They panic. And that's what I call emergency murder.
Emergency murder? What?
And then Billy's like, oh, yes, of course, the emergency murder. Like, he's heard it, like, it's like in every history book.
Every murder is an emergency murder, no?
So Lonnie eventually is like, Laura, girl, was this a suicide or a murder? What's up?
Before we get to what Laura has to say about that, Oxygen has spent a fucking $1 million rebuilding this set. They have an entire shooting day. This whole thing, there's 90 people on the set. They invited this woman in to figure out if this was a staged crime scene or an actual murder scene. So Lonnie finally cuts to the chase.
And it's the moment of truth. And Laura's like, look, I'm going to be honest with you, okay? And I'm not going to hold back here. I'm just going to say it. I'm a straight shooter. I don't bullshit anybody.
To answer your question, Lonnie, simply speaking, it's undetermined for me.
My answer is, you know what, Lonnie? I don't know. I really don't. I don't know. I got nothing. I do know that a wicker chair should not be upright. Like, I mean, I think it should be. That's not how a chair is used. But honestly, I'm a straight shooter. Okay, that's why I have the reputation I have. I tell you like it is, and you know what I know? I know nothing.
It's just like, what happened?
So yeah, I mean, I think this is how the first two episodes end.
Yeah,
Paul Holes is like, I have a hard out at like 4. So if we're gonna build this set again, we gotta get someone who actually has answers here. Paul Holes has the answers. Stay tuned next week because he knows.
Episode 2 of our coverage of Murder at the Mansion is available right now and ad-free at the $5 level on Patreon. Steve would kill me if I don't say. It will only be at the $5 level for 1 week. And then when it becomes our regular episode on the regular feed, you guys, it gets bumped to the $10 level with all the other ad-free apps.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Steve, don't get mad.
I know. It just, he gets a lot of emails on that morning, and it's always like,
I know. He deals with a lot, so.
Yeah, yeah. You guys, don't forget, on the Patreon is also where you can find over 150 full bonus episodes of GP and Me just doing this nonsense.
A whole lot of this. Sometimes extra versions of this. We call them after parties.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to hang out with us and William Elizabeth, go check out our coverage of All Be Gone in the Dark.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you think he's going to like that or hate it? I don't know.
I think he's going to love it. Billy, you love it. You love it.
Totally.
You did a 4-part Oxygen series. What'd you think we were going to do? Billy.
You guys, there's no like coming up next. Coming up next is just this.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for our funny and hilarious outtakes.
Yeah, I sure hope so. I'm more concerned. Paul is cool with me and the blazer, right? Like, he gets it.
Oh, yeah. Paul is absolutely cool with you and the blazer. Okay, he knows he looks great in a blazer. Please. He's Paul Holes.
Right? I actually want to have like in-depth conversations with him. That's a whole other thing.
I think it's going to happen for sure.
Great. It should, right? Paul, don't. Yeah. It's not weird. Ask Rabia. My love is not weird. It's just totally genuine and might be a lot, but it's not weird. Rabia said on the record it's not right. Weird.
All right, we love you guys.
We love you.
Bye. I went for an exercise walk yesterday and I hurt my back, and now
you threw
that
your back out, girl.
It hurts again. For a walk. Why am I, who goes walking? We never meet Benny's wife, but she's still mentioned a lot. I don't.
Allison.
Oh my God, yes.
She was like, whatever. It doesn't matter. This is a different podcast.
They meet for like lunch at an outside like food court or something.
Yeah. It looks like that outdoor space like near New World Stages where Blockheads is. It looks totally, exactly yes, like that. Yeah. That was just for me and you, yeah. I realize, as it's coming out of my mouth. I'm sorry.
Nobody around me die ever. Please let me go first, because imagine what you would be doing to everybody else in my life.
I kind of want to watch it though.
Oh, that's the most heartless thing you've ever said.
I know, but hold on, bear with me. There's a part of me that's like, right. Does he love me that much that he would be so horrible? I'm a little curious.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't wish it on anybody. Are we to believe that Billy Jensen and Paul Holes of the like hit podcast Jensen and Holes are just meeting? Because they do that straight guy half like the handshake and half hug, like, hey man, good to see you, man. Hey man.
They totally know each other. They're like best boyfriends. I'm not saying that they have a couple of drinks and like kissed each other once. I don't know that for sure.
What I think maybe happened is on like, there was like a movie night and like someone did the arm stretch, the yawn in the arm, and like somehow there's an arm around somebody, and it's fine. Paul, never take off that blazer ever.
Or
just the blazer, like only the blazer.
that was even part of the fantasy, but now it is.
Just doing my job. It's a weird one, but I love it.
I just want everybody to know that in fact, was the very first time Jillian ever asked me if we could just get to the sex club.
I mean, for once, can we just hurry up? I got things to do. Let's get to the fucking sex club. God.